Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're here to do movie reviews. We're going to review a movie you've either seen, don't ever plan on seeing, or don't care about spoiling, because we do spoil the movies. And today's movie is no exception to that. It is Wonder Woman 1984, the newest DC universe movie, multiverse movie, directed by Patty Jenkins, sequel to Wonder Woman, the film that came out just a couple years ago. And we're gonna review it. We're also going to read our feedback that you guys left for some of our other reviews that we did. So we'll get your comments there as well. Let me just give you the general description of the movie. Rewind to the 1980s as Wonder Woman's next big screen adventure finds her facing two all new foes, Max Lord and the Cheetah. Of course, starring Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig as Barbara Minerva, aka Cheetah, Pedro Pascal as Maxwell Lord, or you may know him as the Mandalorian. Those are kind of like the main characters in this movie. And once again, directed by Patty Jenkins. Karen, well, you know how we do. We talk about what we liked, we talk about what we didn't like, and then we score from 0 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into our feedback. Karen, give me something you liked about this movie.
I like the outfits, because it was made in 1984, and it felt like the 80s. From the hair, to the clothes, to the fanny packs, to the spandex, to the workout clothes. You literally felt like somebody dropped you in the middle of the 80s, to the commercials, everything. It felt 80-ish, and I was here for it, because that's when I was a kid.
Stylistically, I thought it definitely had a lot of 80s flair. I mean, it looked like the 80s as far as just the clothing choices, the bright colors, the cars, stuff like that. Definitely very 80s. A thing that I like, Gal Gadot is Diana Prince. I really do think that was a casting that people hated when it was announced, and mm-hmm. 3-4 movies later that she's done, I feel like she's completely acquitted herself. She owns the role, and she's really good as Diana Prince and as Wonder Woman. And they really lay a lot at her feet in these movies to kind of be the heart and soul of the film. Mm-hmm. And I think the way they write the character to be different from the other heroes, where she's like this warrior, but she's got a heart, as opposed to many of the other heroes that just kind of like beat the fuck out of people because it's just like, you're a bad person, and then she seems to always be trying to find a way to not have to whoop your ass,
right?
Which is she will do it if she got to, but it just seemed like it's she really nails that whole idea. What else?
I actually enjoyed the fights. Like the previous movie, I enjoyed the fight sequences. They were actually really enjoyable, especially the ones where she started losing her power. Mm-hmm. Because then you was like, oh, okay, like that's when you knew that something was wrong, when her power, she actually's taking bullets, she actually became more human. I really enjoyed them making her human like instead of just God that just can come through and just whoop ass.
Okay. I like the reversing roles. As far as in the first movie, one of the things people didn't like, but I didn't mind it, but one of the things people didn't like, which actually made the movie funny to me, was the idea of Diana is kind of this babe in the woods, you know. She was the one who didn't really quite understand everything that was happening. She was the one that was kind of, you know, it was like, what is this, a phone, you know, like everything was that, like that. And then Steve Trevor was the one who knew everything and was almost like, you know, not picking on her, but being like, oh, you didn't grow up like this, you don't know that we have this stuff. And that technology was set in like 1900 something or whatever. Yes. 1940 something.
Yes.
So seeing Steve come back and Chris Pine be the straight man or whatever, or be the one who's like, what the fuck is this, an escalator? And her showing this world to him, that was pretty cool to me. I thought it, you know, it added something to the movie. What else did you like?
I liked at the end her armor. I liked her wings armor. It actually really stood out. I liked the fact that it was very 80 with the gold and just stood out. And I really liked how she used it.
Yeah, the armor was, I believe, Asteria's armor is what they were saying. And that was something I liked too, was the like the look of the armor was definitely cool. The story behind it, with it being the armor of the one Amazon they left behind so that they could close off the world to man. And then finding out that was Linda Carter at the end. And that was a nice little hat tip wink to Linda Carter to go, hey, you know, Linda Carter was the first Wonder Woman, or the most iconic Wonder Woman that we all remember. Mm-hmm. You know, just a little nice little head nod. We've seen her other places. We've seen her in CW shows and stuff. But this one really felt like, yeah, we're really paying homage to her, and we're giving this character this backstory in this universe in case it ever comes up again. But there's this other Amazonian, and then of course you can also use that to go, there may be other ones possibly in this universe. What else did you like?
I liked it. Diana flies now. I really like that, because I remember watching a lot of the animated series and she flies. But in this series, she's never flown before. So I like the fact that she can actually fly now. So that, you know, I don't know what their plans are. Even if she's just her own universe by herself, we know that she's this version of Superman.
A Wonder Woman?
Yes. Wonder Woman is like this version. Because I don't know if they're ever going to merge them together again, do a Justice League, or if they're going to keep them separated. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like the WB. I don't know what their plans are. But if you keep this as a separate entity, she's like this version of their Superman, because she can fly. She's
well,
strong.
I don't think they're keeping it separate. This is definitely in the same universe as the Justice League movies.
Okay,
there's nothing like this one. You know, this one is definitely there. The, you know, so yeah, that if technically this happened before we saw everything we saw with Justice League, Batman versus Superman.
Okay, this happened before. Okay.
Yeah. Which is why they tried to like throw in that she was destroying cameras. She, you know, nobody had cell phones. She was making sure she wasn't seen. So she, there, you know, Bruce Wayne in the Justice League, in the Batman versus Superman movie, was always like, well, I heard rumors of you, but I never saw you.
Right.
I wasn't sure. And this is why, it's because she was always covering her tracks, even though she was still doing heroic shit, apparently. Mm-hmm. Another thing I liked, I didn't have to get COVID to see this movie.
Come on.
There was rumors they wanted to put this out in theaters.
They actually did.
Yes, I know. They wanted to put it out in theaters and not on the streaming right away. Mm-hmm. And the way it seems set up is they're going to put it on their streaming platforms for 31 days. And so I like that they gave me the option to stay home. Mm-hmm. And because I really would not have wanted to die to see this fucking movie. Mm-hmm. I definitely would not have gone to the theater.
Nope, it'd have been one we missed.
Yeah, so I appreciate them having the, you know,
yeah,
whether it was the insight or just the, like, you know what, we thought we could do it, and we realized that we were going to get, like, it was going to be real irresponsible, but I just appreciate them not doing it.
Yeah, I appreciate them doing it too, just for the fact that you give people the option, because like you said, like us, we're not going out to the movies, and odds are you're not going to make this theater money that you made before, just not here, particularly not here in America. Another thing I liked the female, almost the antagonist. mm-hmm. In this movie. I like, it was kind of almost like a girl power type of movie, mm-hmm. Because she fought another female, which I really liked.
Yeah, so Cheetah is the bad guy. Kristen Wiig was another one of my positives. I thought Kristen Wiig, I mean, there's gonna be things about this movie I think people just don't really understand or give credit for, but a 47-year-old woman as the antagonist and a physical threat, and she gets to be like sexy and all that type of stuff. We still get a few comedic moments from her. Like, she really did deliver to me in this role. Like, people, mm-hmm. this is another one of those people times where people heard the casting and went, how this is gonna suck, why would we want to see that? And honestly, if you have any issues with the movie, I don't think it's Kristen Wiig's performance. Mm-mm. And you know, she was giving you body at 47, man.
When she know?
You know, like, acting across from Gal Gadot physically as equals. And I mean, shit, I loved it. She appropriated a little bit of black auntie culture with all them animal prints. But other than that, you know, she did her thing. Anything else?
Yes, and I actually like Chris Pine's character. Mm-hmm. For the fact that he was actually somebody else. They did a real good job of kind of swapping those characters out.
He was actually, oh yeah, yeah, okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he was actually, like, he came back but not as himself.
She wished for him to come back, and somehow he took over another human being's body, which I don't really understand what happened with that. Like, I know that dude was a person in that world, but like, nobody was looking for the person. There was no, that was just like a weird way to get him back, but I think they just really wanted the actor back in the movie, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like, whatever, man, you know.
Yeah, and I like that. I like the fact that he came back, but quote unquote not as himself, because it's more of how we seen Chris Pine, how Diana seen him as Steve. We didn't really see him as the other person until like the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that.
I forgot to mention they went the full costume with Cheetah, because at first I thought they were going to do this kind of X-Men-y DC thing that they do. Fox does it sometimes where mm-hmm. they run away from like the casting of, I mean, the choice of the character. So it's like, we want Deadpool, but not really. We want the X-Men, but not, let's not give Wolverine this costume. I actually like when they said, nah, let's fucking go all the way there, and she's gonna be the animalistic cheetah with the fur and you know, the claws and all that stuff at the end. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Agreed. I thought it was a great choice.
Anything else for positives?
Mm-mm.
All right, for me, I'll add one more. The opening cinematic with her as a kid competing in the Amazonian, like, I guess games, Olympics, I don't know exactly what it was, but competing in that contest, I thought that was pretty cool, you know. And the ultimate lesson that you get from that, and it comes back around in the end, which is essentially, you can't cheat your way to success, you can't take a shortcut to victory. And that's what all the wishes were in this movie, was symbolic of people wishing for something, not putting in the work for it to get it the right way, and then it costing them something. It was essentially like, this whole movie was an episode of Rick and Morty where the devil had that shop,
yes, called
Needful Things, and people would buy shit from them, and then they would end up having you know, the monkey's paw. They would end up getting those horrible repercussions for their wishes.
Yes. And one more thing, shout out to Natasha from Insecure. She had a short role. I enjoyed
Natasha Rothwell.
Yes, I enjoyed her in this too. Even though her roles were short, I enjoyed her in this movie.
Okay. Anything you did not like?
Yes, I did not like the grayscale. For some reason, WB loves grayscale and they ended fight scenes, and I hate that fucking shit. Put some color in it. You spend too much money in these videos to get to the end, and you gray it and dumb it down and darken everything.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, Patty Jenkins in the first movie, I mean, it was, I just saw an article that finally confirmed what we all thought, which was that the third act with the villain and that final fight was wedged in there by WB and the DC brass being like, we need this grayscale ass fight against this big bad guy. And you know, I know for me personally, the first movie I actually thought it was great, except for that last fight was just so like ridiculous to me. So yeah, I agree with you on the grayscale thing. Is there anything else for negative or
yes?
Okay.
Okay, music. Reason why I said music, you're in the 1980s. I wish you would have had more 1980s music just randomly popping.
Yeah, it was weird to
playing in the background.
It was weird to do fashions and cars and all these iconic things and not have any licensed music. I don't understand
know if they
that choice.
Pay for it or what? I mean, you mean?
I mean, you're paying so much for the movie. I just can't imagine that it just came down
Madonna,
to we didn't want a
Prince,
license.
Nobody. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was very weird to me, and I do wonder about that choice. You know, I noticed. Anything else, or I got yes. some? Okay, go. Okay. Oh, I got some if you want.
Yeah,
or you
did
can you, keep
we
going.
Can go back and forth. Like,
okay,
I thought that's what we were gonna do. My
okay,
bad.
My bad. No, it's really on me. So I give you two since you gave me two. Mm-hmm. I really didn't understand how Steve Trevor wasn't racist when he came back. He mm-hmm. is a white man from like the 1920s. He was born in or something. And you telling me when he came to the 84 and seen, you know, he wasn't like, what's that colored fella doing around with that? You know, we're the Negroes. Like, your boss is a Negro. Like,
y'all so, let them drive?
Nah, that's just a joke one, but not for real, for real. Maxwell Lord to me was a horrible villain.
Okay, agreed.
Pedro Pascal, I mean, I felt bad for him. That mm-hmm. character really was nothing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, I know you don't want to do like Lex Luthor or something, but the way his quote unquote powers worked and the whole concept of it just felt so kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the thing that does grant the wishes actually working, but everyone dismissing it except for him, it just all felt kind of crazy and very it felt like beneath this film, in my opinion. Yep. And I think that it is the start of a lot of my issues with this movie, is that the first movie to me was kind of serious and funny, but the stakes and stuff felt more real and more grounded in the world. This one felt so silly that by the end, when the world had this mass, you know, hysteria or whatever, the idea that, you know, Justice League could happen in this world and they don't know anything about Wonder Woman, they don't know it got so big that it's like, I don't even think this doesn't make sense to me anymore.
And also for me, it's one of the things, y'all know for me, I like a good villain, and he wasn't menacing, he wasn't scary. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't the type of person to go on the screen and you'd be like, oh shit. Now
I think Cheetah was supposed to be that, but it just, like, that was supposed to be the heavy as far as like menacing and scary, and then he was supposed to be some other type of thing that struck to the core of who Diana is and why she's so different than other heroes. And when she gives that speech to the world about like changes everyone's mind, that's something that none of the other heroes really would be able to do, because, you know, they'd be like, if it's not a problem I can punch, then I can't win. And she's the only one with the heart. So I get why he is a villain, why she has to fight him differently. It's not a physical fight. But I'm just saying, as a villain in general, he felt so superfluous and whack to me. Like,
yeah, it's not trying to find it. It was kind of lazy, in my opinion. You know, for a villain, it's like, okay, for him to be the climactic point, mm-hmm. I was kind of expecting more. So I don't know if this was something of Patty Jenkins doing, or them kind of saying, we want you to go this direction. Like, so for some of the stuff, you don't know who made these decisions.
Yeah, just the idea of him being like, every time someone makes a wish, I get a little sicker, so now I have to steal their health in order to keep living because I don't want to renounce my wish and all that. It just felt it really let me down. What else did you not like?
I did not like the fact that, for me, I would have been okay with Max Lord if when Diana had tied the rope around his leg, and when she said, I'm talking to someone else, I would have loved for her to have been talking directly to a god. You know, other than the people, she'd be like, okay, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to somebody else. And like, they zoom out and she's talking to a god, or either he turns into that god and then they begin to fight. Because the whole thing was this ring, a god wrote it. I don't know what god did it. Who is the God I would have enjoyed?
The God of lies or whatever.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed to see him manifest through Max Lord. Then I'd have been like, okay, now we got something here. Mm-hmm. But for you to do that and you talking directly to the people, that was whack.
Yeah, like even an after credit scene or something, like, you know, yes, she foiled my plans and we find out who's really behind it. But yeah, that's a great observation. I didn't even think of that. But you're right, they could have kind of salvaged the character with like, okay, it's this God particularly, and this was their plot to take over the world and all that stuff. Because yeah, this to me, this wasn't it. Well, you gonna keep going on that same point, or are you about to make a different point?
I'm gonna make a different point. Go ahead.
For me, it was too long. It's 2.5 hours, and for this particular movie, that felt like 30 minutes more than we needed, you know. And I thought there was a lot of stuff they tried to pack in here that didn't really add much to the film, you know. For me, like a lot of stuff with the Trevor Diana romance was not that much.
They
could have
tightened that up.
The time they spent exploring the 80s, just it just didn't add anything for me to be like, he can see escalators now. So I thought that was pretty, you know, pretty whack. It was too long. What else?
Back to the female villain, I actually said that I enjoyed her, but what I did not like about the female villain is
Cheetah.
If Cheetah was supposed to be the main person, mm-hmm, I would have loved for them just to focus on her and not worry about Max, because it's almost like Max was there to outshine her, but he literally did not outshine her. So it's like, it kind of made her character feel like, well, then what was the purpose of her character?
The thing for me, and this is another problem I had with the film in general, and because I think it's such a fine line to walk with Wonder Woman, because at once people want to use this character to make statements against patriarchy, which I totally am here for. The entire basis of this character is kink, right? It's a woman that ties up men and makes them tell the truth and gets, you know, some very dominatrix type shit. And so they wanted to go the route of men are bad and she's punishing them, you know, the mall robbery in the beginning that kind of sets all this off. There's a lot of that type of vibe to it. You know, she doesn't actually kill anybody. She just physically, like, you know, subdues them and makes them submissive. So there's like a kinky element to it, for a movie that doesn't have any real sex in it. Mm-mm. The first movie had more sex than this shit.
Yes,
but
it did.
And if you're gonna cuss and be violent, I feel like, you know, you can have some sex without it being like graphic. But at any rate, they have, and by sex I mean even if it was just like her like saying some sexy shit to Steve or whatever, mm-hmm, like it doesn't have to be some over the top, mm-hmm, type shit. But for a movie like that, and then you have like the groper type dude that runs up on Kristen Wiig's character in the park a couple times and stuff, and then she beats him up. Like, there's all these moments where it feels like, instead of the movie being like, here's this other woman who's like a bad guy, she really becomes like a pawn of this, of this dude, because he's essentially the wish master, and she wants the power of the wish. And, you know, for me, I thought this would have been a chance to make Cheetah something more than that.
Agreed.
And instead, she kind of just becomes the bodyguard for this man. And I wonder if they made that decision specifically because they said, we want the man to be the bad guy, mm-hmm, at the end. We, mm-hmm, need it to be a man that is defeated, you know, by the heart of Diana.
Agreed. And I think, for me, if they really want to do that, the God I was saying before, it'd have been neat if their God was a woman. Like, yeah. So you could say, oh, she toyed with him to get at Diana.
That would have been dope. Right. A lot of, you know, they could have went a lot of ways with that. Another thing for me, you say you liked that she was in the movie. I thought they wasted Natasha Rothwell. I thought that was ridiculous to even, why even cast her if she's not going to get to be like funny? And
yeah,
like, it just,
I agree.
Like, I know from Insecure,
I was just glad to see her there, but yeah,
I know from Insecure how funny she can be,
mm-hmm,
and to me I'm like, did y'all cut some jokes out of the film? Because y'all wasted her skill set, man. That, like, I want to see her be funny. I want to see her chew up the scenery. And instead, I felt like it was just it might as well have just been a cameo.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And speaking of that, that was kind of missing from this one. The funniness wasn't there.
I agree.
The first one, it was more serious, but at least you got more humor out of it with the men interacting with each. It was a lot more. It was heavier than this one, but it was more humor than this one. Mm-hmm. So somebody made the choice to almost strip all the humor out of it. I guarantee you they shot this a lot more humorous, and somebody came and just stripped it all away.
People were very uncomfortable with Diana being the one who was the quote-unquote straight man in the jokes in the first film, because I remember seeing that as a big complaint. Was like, why should they make her seem so stupid, man? And I'm like, it's one, it's played for comedy.
Yes.
And two, it's not her being stupid. It's her pointing out how stupid the world is.
Yes.
It's her being like, but why would women have to wear these clothes? Why would they do this? And then we get to 1984 and she's wearing high heels, and which is another weird thing, the cheetah high heels that didn't match nothing, and then the woman goes, I'm gonna be cheetah based off the high heels. But yeah, like it was just little stuff like that that I was like, it was missing in this film. And it could have been a lot funnier, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's see, another thing I did not like, I actually thought the CGI in a lot of the action scenes, and I don't mean the quality of CGI, but whoever was like, this is how we're gonna make her run, this is how we're gonna, I have seen Marvel do that so many times, so much better.
It should have been sharper.
I think about Civil War, where they had a fucking highway chase of like, you had Black Panther, Captain America, Bucky, and Falcon all running down the motherfucking highway at top speed, slamming into cars, jumping out of cars, moving in person on foot. And then this is what you want to do in this movie? Like, they had her running so badly. And I don't know that that has anything to do with Patty Jenkins, mm-hmm. but this like the second time that I feel like we got cheated,
like they didn't want to invest the money to sharpen that shit up, because you could have easily sharpened it up where it looked better.
It just didn't look right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it reminded me a lot of the Justice League movie and the way they had the Flash running, and you just like, this doesn't look grounded in anything. It should be important to make this look physical, like it's happening in the real world. And they had way too much of this stuff. Like, just, you know, she jumps in the air, and the way she's jumping, swinging from cloud to cloud, it just feels like there's no weight, there's no gravity, this isn't really happening. And that just, to me, lets down not just her, but the director, the actress, everybody, when you do shit like that. What else?
Yeah, speaking of that, her flying, like I said, I said it was a positive. It was a positive that she was flying, but a negative is that her flying was kind of whack. Mm-hmm. Like you say, it was almost like they had her floating versus I was like, oh, she don't really feel like she's flying. Mm-hmm. You know, and like that's the way that she was flying. CW Supergirl flew better than she did. I was like, what? This is not good. You spent too much money for me not to really feel like she's actually laying there, y'all blowing a fan across her. I want to see her fly.
Yeah, another thing for me, I think this might be my final thing, but another thing for me that just didn't really work, I don't like the trope of a superhero who we saw get power in the first movie lose that power in the second movie. I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's I'm pretty consistent on this. This isn't just because it's Wonder Woman. I mean, I didn't like it when it was Wolverine movies. I don't like it when it was Superman, the old Superman, like Superman 2 or whatever, where he loses his powers and he can't be Superman no more or whatever. I don't like that shit. I don't like anything where it's like, oh no, I'm a Spider-Man 2, which is so many people's favorite Spider-Man movie. I don't like that trope of he stopped believing in himself and he couldn't be Spider-Man. Why? It's just really resetting the character after we watch them develop. Don't reset development. Give me a reason that, you know, that really makes sense. And this felt like so, like, and this, because this thing, I'm watching Wonder Woman. I know she's not going to die. So this thing of we're weakening her so that when she gets hit by a bullet, she bleeds, it doesn't matter to me. It's not like I said, oh, she's gonna bleed out in act two and then we'll have to finish the movie without her. Like, so you might as well keep her fully powered, because the fights to me are doper when she's kicking everybody's ass. And then what you do is you make the bad guys stronger. Now, you know, give them weapons that, you know, in the first movie they didn't have, that now it's like, oh, this weapon can hurt her. That kind of stuff. They do it in video games all the time. Like, oh, they have a new electronic weapon. You're like, oh shit, this is actually affecting this character. So I didn't like that.
Yeah, I got two more things. You made me think about one while you was talking. In the first Wonder Woman, the battle scenes and the fight she did with the soldier were crisper and they were sharper, and she was just badass. It's like, it was like boom, 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 boom. This one, you literally slowed the fight down, which was the coolest fucking part of the first movie. You slowed it down to show her getting weaker, which actually took away from some of the action. I enjoyed the action, but it was like speed. Oh, lose my power. Slow.
And also, like, the action in this movie had moments that felt like, we just gonna make this action part for the trailer, right? Like, oh, here's her using the rope to stop a bullet. That'll look great in the trailer. But then when you watch it in context of the movie, it's like, how can she even do that when she's losing her powers? Like, this doesn't even fucking make sense. Like, in some moments, it's like when she needed her powers still there, and then every other moment her powers are fucking killing her. Like, it just, that felt really whack to me. What was your other thing that you didn't like?
My last thing, back to Max Lord. We didn't see him go to jail. We didn't see no consequence of his action. He renounces and walks away in the sunset with his son.
Yeah. And I think they thought they were doing that to show how much heart that Diana has, and almost on some anime shit where, like, there are no bad people. Bad guys are just good. Are just people that had something tragic happen to them, and then they went on this other path, which I can kind of understand. But the climax of this film and how big the final act was, I don't believe the whole world just goes back to, like, all right, that didn't happen.
I don't believe it's a reset either. There should have been consequence. If they really want to bring back the dude that she fell in love with through Steve, she should have been like leaving the trial or some shit like that and seen him and shit like that, versus her randomly walking in the snow. Like, that was an unnecessary ending scene with almost no purpose if you're not gonna have them being consequences to that dude's actions.
It was just a very weird, like, this none of this really happened type of ending that I just didn't understand.
Yeah, it's like a control out delete. Let's act like that shit never happened.
Yeah, that was just a super weird choice for me. So anything else that you did not like? Okay. Yeah, I can't really think of anything else I didn't, you know, nothing else. Like, everything else I probably would say is pretty much petty, but you know, those are the major things that I didn't like about the movie. So what would you score this from 0 to 5?
I would give it a 2.5.
2.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. I feel like as we talked about it, your score came down a bit. Mm-hmm. Before we did the review, you was like, I really like this. I don't know what everybody's talking about. Afterwards, you're like, 2.5.
Yeah, because I had to really think about it, you know, cause like I said, once you really analyze it, like I said, between two and a half to three is at the higher end. For me, like I said,
I wasn't trying to change the score. No, I was just talking about it.
It wasn't that. I actually enjoyed the first one way better than I enjoyed this one.
I thought the first one was like a 4 out of 5, 5 out of 5 type film for me, because I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it really went off the beaten path for DC. I think the trap that this movie fell in was trying not to be a superhero movie like other superhero movies.
Right.
And I think there's a fine line between, like, because Marvel's done so many at this point. We've seen that you can do a superhero movie and make it different than someone else's and still get those kind of basic ideas of, like, this is a hero, this is the choices they have to make, this is what makes them brave, this is what makes them funny, and do it differently. They've done it so many times, and in this one it felt like they were running away from so much that Zack Snyder had stuck them in, and they wanted to make sure they avoided that shit. But it was kind of over. Like, Zack Snyder was the one that made it so that she has to be a hero who's brave and everyone, you know, loves, but no one's ever seen her face. Like, you know, this is all retconning Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder said essentially she was his hero in 1940 something and then went away for 70 years. And so now this movie goes, no, she didn't. She actually was helping people. She was doing stuff for people. And it just, you know, she was careful about covering her tracks. Yeah, well, it's hard to cover your tracks of a global catastrophe like this. So now you kind of violate that. And so I feel like, you know, you even said at one point you almost thought this was a multiverse type story.
Mm-hmm.
And that says so much about what this film had to overcome. And unlike the first film where I thought, you know, they kind of overcame the Zack Snyder, you know, darkness, and kind of used it in a to make the movie more serious. I felt like they wanted so much to be away from the darkness,
right,
and towards the light, that they actually made the movie kind of like silly, and not silly in the like, oh, it's so funny, but silly in the like, we're just gonna
break
go
all
full,
our rules and laws that we've established.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. or just full, like, you know, there's a MacGuffin that gives people magic wishes. We're not gonna explain anything, any history with that,
anything,
not even like a flashback or anything, just that, just it exists. And they even make fun of it in the movie, like, who would believe that? and then later we're like, it's like, this is the biggest centerpiece of the movie.
And my thing is this, just like they had a great flashback of the golden outfit with the wings,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the movie should have been how that ring was made, and then you could go on with the rest of the movie. Yeah. And then it would have made more sense.
It looked like one of her bands. Like, I thought, yes, it was gonna have something to do with that. You know, so yeah, I would give it a 2 out of 5. You know, I really did want more from this movie. I really did.
Agreed.
I went into this hopeful. I avoided all reviews. I didn't want to get into the, you know I have friends that do movie reviews, you know, Chris and them, that kind of just don't like anything DC ever does. And so I basically avoid those type of reviews because I'm like, I already know it's gonna be they didn't, even the ones I like, they're not gonna like, they're gonna,
agreed,
you know. So I'm like, you know, let me go into this with an open mind. So these are just my thoughts after watching it. And, you know, I was hoping that a lot of those people were wrong that were trying to shit on it. One of the things I don't have a problem with that a lot of people seem to have a problem with is the idea of Chris Pine or Steve Trevor being a major part of the movie. That doesn't bother me.
No,
I'm not sure why that bothers people so fucking much, but like, I've seen so many movies about some motherfucking dude saving some woman, you know. Chris Pine plays a great cuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's really made a great career out of, you know, in the movie, what was the movie Ava DuVernay directed about the little girl, the little black girl?
I know what you're talking about.
But he played a great cuck in that, where he was the father that was missing, and
oh, that mixed girl. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember the name.
But yeah, like, he played a great cuck in that, you know. And I think that is, you know, important. Like, that we need white men to take those roles of the damsel in distress. But so that part didn't bother me. But there's just so many other things in this film that, you know, just weren't. They just felt very either tropey or very wasteful, you know. Like, they did like a clothes trying on montage for the 80s and no Ava movie. I mean, no Ava movies. And no 80s music, you know.
Yeah, the music is a big thing for me. I was like, oh, they missed a beautiful opportunity.
Yeah. All right, so I would give it 2 out of 5. Like I said, not a diss. A Wrinkle in Time is what it was called.
That's what it was called.
But not a diss to Gal Gadot or whatever. I do wonder now, people that were super excited about Patty Jenkins getting a Star Wars movie, if they're gonna be like, man, fuck that shit.
I think her Star Wars movie gonna be great.
Yeah, I think this is the thing that I keep, you know, people try to shit on this, And you know, hopefully they've come around on it. But this is the thing where I said I like when my favorite directors work with Disney, because Disney will keep them on the rails. Like,
yes, they're not gonna let you go but so far,
right? Like, yes, I understand if you want to go make a completely new concept and all this type of shit for a movie, they won't let you do that. And hey, God bless you, go do that somewhere else. But I actually, as a fan, don't want people coming in and being like, you know what? What if the wasp was an actual wasp? I actually don't want that. Mm-mm. I actually would like to see.
Well, then somebody has to waste the time to clean that shit.
Yeah,
up.
You know, like, I actually do want to see Marvel come in and be like, hey, this has to relate to our universe and feel real. And I think DC at first was, they had made some bad decisions. And they were overbearing and making people stick to their bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of doing the opposite, which is now every movie is so separate that there's no two movies that are alike, which, hey, I'll take them either way. But just understand that this no two movies are alike shit is definitely letting, like, you can get yourself into different set of problems. And I think this is one of those different set of problems where Patty Jenkins wants to make the movie that is the opposite of the other movies, even though this one's in the same universe as the other movies. And it comes off so disjointed that it to me, where the other movies flawed by being too serious and too dark, this one flaws by being too silly and too light.
Agreed.
All right, let's get to our comments on the other reviews that we did. So the comments are on the solo reviews that we did. Okay, so the first one is for Karen's Canvas review.
Yay.
And Amani says, "All snap, Karen doing solo reviews too. This short was so cute, and the director of this one is one of the animators on the Soul movie with Jamie Foxx dropping on Disney Plus on Christmas, so I'm looking forward to that as well."
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, then that Soul movie gonna be good then.
And Tootie Tar says, "Hi, Karen. You did a great job of bringing this silent movie to life. This movie isn't even coming up as one of my suggestions on Netflix. I'm going to search it out now. Great solo review, Karina."
Oh, thank you, because this short is only like 9 minutes.
Yeah, it really didn't get any promotion, which is interesting. It was definitely on my list of Netflix that suggested, like, you should check this out. But it's still weird because I saw someone bring that up today on Twitter. Like, hey, this movie came out December 11th and didn't get any promotion. Check this out. Spell, I got one comment on my solo review. Tootie Tar says, "Hi, Rod. Enjoyed the solo review of Spell. It sounds like a messy good time. I've been debating about seeing this one for weeks. Still debating. Thanks for the review, Karina." Yeah, it was definitely a messy good time. I enjoyed it. It was ridiculous and silly. You know, a little bit gross, of course, but it was short and more funny and over the top than it was anything else. So like I said, great performances from some of the cast. And then we get episode 312, Mosul, which is a movie I saw on Netflix, action movie, foreign film, quote unquote. Tootie Tor says, "Rod, thanks for the solo review. Just letting you know people are listening, Karina." Well, thank you for listening. We do, you know, care that y'all listen.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got asked to do Jingle Jangle review. We never got a comment on that review.
Somebody did ask us to do Jingle Jangle.
Like, several people requested a Jingle Jangle review, and we ended up loving the movie. We do the review, and nobody's got anything to say. So it's like, damn, did y'all move on already?
It was like, well, they'll eventually get to it.
Yeah, so, you know, or maybe we did such a good job, it's like nothing else to say. I don't know. Anyway, thank y'all for your comments, and we'll be back with another movie review soon. I'm sure we'll be seeing Soul at some point, and there's all kinds of other stuff that we got dropped through the screener season. So
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, y'all, and we'll talk to you soon. Until then, peace.
Peace.